What if I told you that standard blood work is missing the markers that matter most for your cardiovascular future? Today, we're looking at a real transformation story that demonstrates the power of precision testing. And then we'll decode what the science actually says about NAD supplementation, midlife optimization protocols, and emerging treatments for resistant depression. I'm your biohacker mentor, and this is your performance intelligence briefing. Let's start with something remarkable. Between ages 50 and 55, one individual completely transformed their metabolic health by doing something most doctors don't even mention: measuring advanced cardiovascular biomarkers instead of relying on basic cholesterol panels. We're talking about ApoB and LPA, markers that predict long-term cardiovascular risk with far greater accuracy than the standard lipid panel your doctor orders during your annual physical. The protocol here is straightforward, but the results tell the story. ApoB dropped to 57 mg per deciliter, which puts them in optimal territory, since anything under 60 is considered excellent. LDL cholesterol came down to 41, well below the 70 threshold for excellent status. But here's what makes this compelling. These weren't just numbers on a lab report. Joint pain completely resolved. Energy levels returned to what this person experienced in their late 30s. 50 pounds came off, not as the primary goal, but as a natural consequence of metabolic optimization. Now, the interventions themselves weren't exotic: time-restricted eating, protein prioritization, reduction of saturated fat intake. What made the difference was targeting the right biomarkers with evidence-based nutrition. This is the delta that matters in precision health. You cannot optimize what you don't measure, and most people are measuring the wrong things. The protocol here is to understand why these advanced markers matter. Standard healthcare typically measures total cholesterol, LDL, HDL, and triglycerides. But ApoB quantifies the actual number of atherogenic particles in your blood, which is a much clearer predictor of plaque formation than LDL cholesterol alone. LPA is a genetically determined particle that significantly increases cardiovascular risk, and most people have no idea what their level is because it's rarely tested. If you have family history of heart disease or you're optimizing for longevity, these aren't experimental markers. They're established biomarkers with strong predictive value that simply aren't routinely ordered. The experiment to run this week? Contact your healthcare provider and specifically request ApoB and LPA testing at your next blood draw. Track the numbers and establish your baseline. This is precision health in action. Moving into supplementation territory, let's talk about NAD. This molecule has generated massive buzz in the longevity space, and as with most hyped interventions, we need to separate marketing from mechanism. According to research discussions with leading experts in this field, NAD's importance extends far beyond the anti-aging narrative that dominates social media. NAD coenzymes operate in three critical biological systems. First, metabolism, converting fuel into cellular energy. Second, anabolism, building cellular components in tissues. Third, repair mechanisms, the recovery processes that determine how quickly you bounce back from training stress or metabolic damage. Age-related NAD decline is well documented in the literature. This creates a clear rationale for supplementation, particularly for active individuals seeking optimal recovery and performance. Here's where it gets interesting from a performance standpoint. Professional sports teams, including the New England Patriots, have used nicotinamide glabicide, which is an NAD precursor, for years. Now, this doesn't constitute published performance studies, but it does suggest practical benefits in high-performance settings where every recoverable advantage matters. Recent research from 2020 showed what experts described as shocking results, though the specific mechanisms are still being investigated. There's an important distinction to understand here: direct NAD supplementation versus precursor approaches. These affect bioavailability differently. Precursors like nicotinamide riboside or NMN must be converted to NAD within cells, which may actually enhance uptake compared to direct NAD administration. The honest assessment for optimizers: NAD's role in core biological functions is established science. Precursors like nicotinamide riboside have shown promise in research and are being used in performance settings. However, optimal dosing, timing, and long-term effects are still being studied. This falls into the promising rather than proven category for performance optimization. The protocol here is to discuss this with your healthcare provider, start conservatively, and track subjective markers like recovery time between training sessions and baseline energy levels throughout the day. This is N-of-1 experimentation with a solid mechanistic foundation. Now, let's address midlife optimization, because declining health after 60 isn't metabolically inevitable, but avoiding it requires strategic interventions that most people completely overlook. A comprehensive discussion by three medical professionals revealed something critical. The single most important factor is strength training, not cardio, not flexibility work, strength training. Building on that, strength training maintains metabolic health by preserving muscle mass, which is your largest insulin-sensitive tissue.
It prevents falls by maintaining balance and coordination. It preserves independence by ensuring you can perform activities of daily living. And it counteracts age-related muscle loss, which accelerates after 40 and becomes severe after 60, yet it remains the most neglected practice among people over 50. Other evidence-based priorities create a framework for sustained performance. Sleep optimization, 6.5 to 8.5 hours for inflammation control and cognitive function. Poor sleep undermines every other intervention you're running. Regular medication reviews, questioning necessity rather than accepting lifetime prescriptions. Many conditions improve with lifestyle changes, potentially allowing dose reduction or elimination under medical supervision. Hydration with electrolytes, critical for medication distribution, organ function, and cognitive performance. Most people are chronically underhydrated. And sunlight exposure, for vitamin D synthesis and circadian rhythm regulation, both foundational for metabolic health. The doctors in this discussion notably critiqued extreme dietary approaches, including aggressive ketogenic diets and GLP-1 medications like Ozempic. Their concern centers on muscle mass loss and potential metabolic damage. They emphasize that consistency trumps intensity. Small, sustainable daily improvements compound over time, while extreme interventions often create rebound effects. The protocol here is clear. If you're not strength training at least twice weekly, that's your priority intervention. Track sleep duration and quality for 1 week to establish baseline. Schedule a medication review with your doctor to discuss whether all current prescriptions remain necessary. These aren't revolutionary protocols. They're foundational practices with strong evidence that most people systematically underutilize. Switching to mental health innovation, we need to discuss treatment-resistant depression, because there's emerging evidence that represents a significant development for individuals who haven't responded adequately to traditional antidepressants. Rigorous randomized controlled trials from the late 1990s and early 2000s established ketamine's efficacy for treatment-resistant depression. The reported 60 to 80% long-term remission rates substantially exceed outcomes from SSRIs, SNRIs, and even psychological therapy. What's particularly noteworthy is the distinction between functional outcomes and true remission. Functional means preventing suicide and maintaining basic daily activities. True remission means elimination of significant suffering. Many patients on traditional antidepressants achieve the former but continue experiencing diminished quality of life. Ketamine therapy appears to address root neurobiological mechanisms rather than just managing symptoms. Important context for optimizers. Ketamine therapy is administered under medical supervision, typically through specialized clinics. Long-term remission is carefully distinguished from cure, which reflects appropriate medical conservatism around chronic conditions. The treatment course involves multiple sessions rather than indefinite use. This requires medical oversight, carries risks, and isn't appropriate for everyone, but it represents an evidence-based option for those with genuine treatment-resistant depression who haven't found relief through standard approaches. If this resonates with your situation or someone you know, the protocol is to discuss with a psychiatrist experienced in treatment-resistant depression and ketamine protocols. This isn't a DIY intervention. It's a legitimate medical treatment with strong evidence for a specific population. Let's examine the broader nutrition shift happening right now. There's a major movement emerging around whole food advocacy as the primary solution to metabolic disease, positioned in direct contrast to pharmaceutical weight loss interventions. The statistics driving this movement are genuinely concerning. 77% of American youth cannot qualify for military service due to health issues. 38% of teens are diabetic or pre-diabetic. These aren't minor deviations from optimal health. These are catastrophic trends. The proposed solution emphasizes personal responsibility through simple actions: eating real meat, vegetables, and fruits, morning walks, sunlight exposure. This approach questions the long-term safety profile of GLP-1 medications, citing concerns about bone density and other potential effects that may not manifest for years. It also highlights regulatory inconsistencies, where ingredients allowed in American food products are banned in European equivalents. The balanced perspective for optimizers: whole foods and lifestyle interventions have robust evidence supporting metabolic health improvements. The criticism of GLP-1 medications for population-wide use raises valid questions about long-term effects, though these medications do have legitimate applications for certain patients under medical supervision. The key insight is that foundational nutrition and lifestyle practices, the unsexy basics, remain the most powerful long-term interventions for metabolic health. Pharmaceutical approaches may have a role, but they work best as adjuncts to, not replacements for, fundamental lifestyle optimization. The experiment to consider: audit your current diet for processed foods and additives. Focus on nutrient density and food quality rather than just hitting macro targets. Morning sunlight exposure and walking are free interventions with multiple benefits and essentially no downside. Track how you feel after 1 week of prioritizing whole foods over processed alternatives. Finally, let's address something that doesn't show up on biomarker panels but dramatically affects performance: your psychological framework. Research and practical experience both suggest that openly declaring ambitious goals, rather than minimizing them to avoid appearing too intense, supports better outcomes. The psychological mechanism is straightforward. Misalignment between internal drive and external expression creates friction that undermines performance. Fake modesty may protect against judgment, but it also dilutes motivation and accountability. This isn't about taking trivial matters too seriously. It's about taking your genuine goals seriously and aligning your actions with your intentions. For optimizers, consider whether you're unconsciously dimming your ambitions for social comfort. Public commitment to specific, measurable goals can enhance both motivation and accountability. This isn't about bravo, and more about reducing internal conflict between what you want and what you're willing to say you want. Here's your N-of-1 experiment for this week. First, if you haven't tested ApoB and LPA, contact your healthcare provider and request these biomarkers at your next blood draw. Second, if you're not strength training twice weekly, schedule 2 sessions this week and track how recovery feels compared to cardio-only training. Third, audit your current sleep duration for 7 consecutive nights and calculate your average. And fourth, identify one ambitious goal you've been downplaying and state it clearly to someone you respect. Track the psychological shift that creates. Optimize your day. Talk tomorrow.